Hello, everybody, and again, Happy New Year. Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Dangerous Darren Show right here on the Adobe Radio Network. Thanks again for tuning in. We love every single one of you. Today, me and TS are at the Shortstop. It's a great bar, a fantastic bar. It is in Echo Park. The address is 1455 Sunset Boulevard, Echo Park. Hit them up on Twitter at the underscore short underscore stop when you get a minute. It's a place to go when you want to stop in for a quick drink or 10 before the Dodger game. And joined, as always, here at the Shortstop in Echo Park by my lover, TS.
Well, thank you. Welcome to the Shortstop.
Well, TS, lover. I probably shouldn't have said that you're my lover because
you
told me to keep that quiet.
The cat is out of the bag.
You told me to keep that quiet, and I've had a few drinks, and I just can't hold it back. I can't hold it back. I just...
Well, now everyone knows.
It's like an Anchorman when Veronica, what was her name? Veronica
Silverstone.
Cornerstone. Veronica Cornerstone told Anchorman, Ron Burgundy, to keep the relationship quiet. Hey, we shouldn't be talking about this at the, he's like, oh, I totally agree. And the next day he's like, I'm in love with Veronica Cornerstone. We are in love and we made mad love all night long. So me and you have had sex, yes, and it's just... The world needs to know.
I don't know if the world needs to know about that.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. We didn't have sex, but I want to have sex. I get those confused. I get those confused. What actually happened and what I want to happen. Sometimes in my mind.
You're living in a fantasy dream world.
Thanks for bringing me back down to earth, yes.
Bring it back.
Let's just forget that whole thing happened.
Let's just delete it. Delete.
Delete it from your mind. Live here at the Shortstop. And we're here. We're drinking. We're having some good fun. We're drinking. What do you got, TS? What are you drinking?
Jameson.
No, what else you got, though? What is that?
I have a Eagle Rock Revolution.
Should we do a shot?
We should. It's
Oh, we got
a
customer. What is this, a podcast? It is a podcast.
Holy shit. What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Let's get your order live. What are you ordering?
I'm gonna get Grey Goose. That's just what I need.
He's getting a Grey Goose.
Excellent choice.
And while he's doing that, TS, let's have some of our beer and talk about what's coming up on the next episode of the Dangerous Darren Show.
What do we
got? We have my good friend Rich Ezra. You might not know who he is. He is an A&R guy. He's worked with some incredible bands. He's had like 35 years history in the industry and knows more than anybody as far as the ebbs and flows of the music industry and where it's going, where it's been, how it can be fixed. He's a great interview. We're going to get him on the show as well.
35 years, that's a huge sample size and a really long career in music.
He's worked with everybody from like Michael Jackson to Aretha Franklin to U2. He's worked with everybody. He's an incredible guy. We're going to talk about the music industry. We're also going to have music from Goldfinger.
Oh, I've heard of them.
I mean, it's been a long time. We've been doing this podcast, and I haven't played 1 ounce of Goldfinger. Well, off the end and the bookends of the show, but we haven't played any music from Goldfinger.
You got to give the people what they want.
And I got this tweet, and someone was like, what's the song you play at the end of your podcast? It's pretty punk rock. It's pretty crazy. Is it called Fuck L.A.? And it's not Fuck L.A. It's called The City with Two Faces / Fuck L.A.
In parentheses, underscore.
So we're going to, I mean, I don't like playing my own band, but we're getting requested, so we're going to play it.
Let's do it.
In the meantime, let's do a shot here at the Shortstop.
Where's our buddy Dennis? And we got our man Fish here.
We got our friend Fish, who works at who works at Adobe. He's an office manager. Hey, Fish.
What's up? How are you? I'm very stoked to be here right now.
He came by to support us, and we have this customer. Your name is Andrew, and you have a what?
Grey Goose.
Grey Goose and what?
Straight up on ice
with lemon or lime? Cheers to the Shortstop in Echo Park.
Cheers,
voila. And to the Dodgers.
Oh, hey, go Doyers.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll put hair
on your
chest.
We talk about everything from life to music to girls to hookers to pop culture to sports.
Weed.
We talk about music. We talk about weed. We talk about marijuana. We talk about talk about politics, just, you know, cornucopia of everything. Oh, I don't know. I can't talk numbers right now. I'm drunk. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me about numbers right now. I'm doing a podcast.
We'll get to the nuts and bolts of
this. This guy wants facts and figures. Let me get the computer. Let me get a printout and give you the hits we got. I don't fucking know. We got Rich Ezra on the show. We got music from Goldfinger. T.S., I was just in Boston over the weekend.
How was it?
For a Bruins-Leafs game.
Oh.
And Boston is one of the finest cities in America.
There's no love lost between those two teams.
And it was fun. The Bruins won in the last minute of play in the third period, and the place went nuts, and we went out drinking in Boston and had a great time. I want to give a shout-out to the Verb Hotel in Boston. It's a rock and roll hotel right by Fenway Park. It's a great hang. It's a good hotel. Prices are great. There's a great sushi restaurant attached to it. So if you're in Boston, you're looking for something to do, someplace to hang, someplace to eat, go to the Verb Hotel. That gave me a pretty good rate.
That's near all of the it's all the clubs are right behind Fenway, right behind the Green Monster.
House of Blues is there.
Mamakins and all those spots.
Bill's Bar. It's all right there. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, folks, please do, at @DangerousD_show. TS is always at Burn H. Wood Burn. I'm at Darren99. Also, thanks to our good friends at Rollin' Drums for the Fat V drums that they offered us a couple months back. I play at the beginning of every single show. This week, TS, I kept it kind of simple. Last week, I shredded. You remember?
Yeah.
This week, I kept it simple and just played a groove.
Just keep it clean.
Keep it clean. Mellow out a little bit.
One, two, three, four.
Yep. A little
two,
Moody Blues
two,
style.
Three, four.
You know, kept it clean. Moody. Also, our good friends at Blue Microphones for the microphones you are hearing right now. They are called Yeti Pros, and they are fantastic. So hit them up on Twitter when you get a chance, at Blue Microphones. T.S., what was your weekend like? There was some football.
There was a lot of football.
What did you do?
I was down in Newport Beach with some peeps, and we were raging for football.
Newport Beach is gorgeous.
It is beautiful.
So did you stay there?
We did. We stayed with our friends.
And how'd it go?
Well, it was a shit show. It was a total shit show.
By the time, I know you're a Denver Broncos fan, so by the time the Broncos game started, how intoxicated were you on a level of 1 to 10?
I was probably, I was 5 to 7, but my partner was probably getting close to 9.
Really?
And we had to leave at halftime because I thought she was going to kill
partner,
some
Pittsburgh
Mike, fan.
Your friend Mike?
No, it's a...
Mike, how was Mike? Was Mike good?
My other partner.
Your female partner. Okay, I don't see Mike here.
She's here somewhere.
I see your female partner.
Yeah.
So she was like a 9.
She was like a 9
at kickoff.
By halftime, and we had
by
to
kickoff,
pull.
She was maybe a 7.
She was a 6. She was nervous all day. We started early.
So next week when the Broncos play the Patriots in the AFC Championship, she's going to be a shit show.
Yeah, but that game's at noon Pacific time, so it's going to be
handle it.
It's like we're actually going to be holed up in a cabin in the woods.
Well, hold on a second, Andrew. The Steelers didn't get their ass kicked. They lost the game. They didn't get their ass kicked. It wasn't like a blowout like the first half of the Carolina game. That was a fucking shit show. 31-0 at the half. That was getting your ass kicked. They lost the game. They could have won it.
It was a
they
good
could
game.
Have won it.
It was a good game.
They had
game.
Every chance to win it, but they didn't. And your weekend was a success.
It was a success. Yeah. Ate a
Newport
lot of good food.
Newport Beach is gorgeous. You
we're
stayed
out
in
Noops.
A nice
stayed
place.
With some friends.
You watched the game.
Watched the game. Brought the dogs.
Had a few. You brought the dogs?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Went swimming.
What level of intoxication were the dogs?
They're pretty much straight edge. Our dogs are straight edge, yeah.
So they're fans of like Youth of Today.
Yeah, they love Youth of Today. Linus is really, really. Linus is a Bold fan.
Bold, oh my God. We got to get some Bold on. Let's get Bold on our show, T.S.
We should.
We got to talk about the NFL. I mean, let's just transition into the NFL, T.S.
All right.
Last week, you were, to remind everybody, you were 1-3 on your picks.
That's correct.
I was
3-1.
This week. You are 2-2,
two and two,
and I am 4-0.
Well, look at you. A fucking genius.
I picked New England to win. I picked Carolina to win. I picked Arizona to win. And what was the other game? Can't think right now.
Where?
Oh, it's right here.
You pick...
See, Carolina beat Seattle. Denver beat Pittsburgh. Arizona beat Green Bay. And New England beat Kansas City. I was 4-0. So, TS, we have to do it again. We have to pick some teams. Let's start with this coming Sunday, January 24th, 3 o'clock Eastern time, noon Pacific. You have New England traveling to Denver to face Peyton Manning and the Broncos. Who do you got?
I'm taking the Broncos, the donkeys at home.
Denver.
The home dog. I love a home dog. +3.5.
You're picking this because you're your lady friend?
Yeah,
or
I think
Denver's got a chance against Denver's Super Bowl champions.
Denver's got a chance, but I'll have a better chance on Sunday night if the Broncos win.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Nice. Okay. All right. I'm going to disagree with you and pick New England because Tom Brady is probably, I hate saying this, I can't believe it's even coming out of my mouth, Tom Brady is the best quarterback ever to play in the National Football League. He has been to 6 Super Bowls. He's won 4. He could have easily won all 6. I mean, he can't be denied. He's playing at a very high level this year, and he's Tom Brady. So even though they're on the road, I'm picking. And by the way, Peyton Manning did not look great in
he
that
did,
win
he didn't
against
look great.
Denver. He looked okay.
It's cold. It's too cold for the old man. I feel him. When it gets below, like, 50 degrees, I don't really want to go outside anyway. And all my joints start acting up.
Okay, You're picking. No, not at all. It doesn't matter how the football is deflated or inflated. It doesn't really matter. Let's go to the second game, 6:40 Eastern, 3:40 Pacific. You have Arizona traveling to Carolina to play the Panthers. What do you got?
All right. That game is going off even right now. Maybe
it's
minus
a
half. It's a pick'em. And I am going to go with Carolina.
You're going Carolina?
Carolina. Yeah,
I'm going Carolina as well.
They are rolling right now.
Cam Newton is Cam Newton.
This is Cam Newton's year.
And he's awesome. Maybe a little conceited with his little pose he does.
His dab dance? He likes to do the dab dance.
But fuck him. He's fucking awesome. He's a great quarterback. He's leading his team to victory. The defense is playing soundly. Special teams is awesome. They're home. I mean, Carolina's going to the Super Bowl.
It's happening.
So
I got
you're saying it's going to be Carolina-Denver in a
Carolina-Denver.
I think it's going to be
Carolina-New
England.
Carolina-Denver. You heard it here. Lock it up.
Well, you were 1-3 in the wild card. You were 2-2 in the divisional. Let's see what you are in the conference. Finals.
All right, let's. I'm just hitting my stride.
I'm 3-1 and 4-0. Yes, I mean, if you want to call me for football advice, you have my number. Call me anytime you want. Don't call me an asshole, even though I am an asshole. But the football was really good this weekend. I was really stoked about it. I got some sad news to report, TS.
What's
musicians
that?
Are dropping like flies.
Oh man, I know it's terrible. It
like,
is terrible.
I'm actually kind of worried about it.
Like I said, you are in my pool.
What are my odds?
Well, I got you're like you're not that old. You're probably like 50-1 right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can I put $20 on that?
Yeah, you should.
Okay, good. Okay, mark me for 20. I'm in. But yeah, we got Glenn Frey, the guitar player and founder of the Eagles, passed away yesterday. And he was 67 years old, and it's really, really sad. It's like these iconic musicians are dying left, right, and center. The drummer for Mott the Hoople, although not many people might not know who they are. I mean, they're just falling one after another. Bowie and Lemmy and Scott Weiland. And what's next? Darren Pfeiffer, Goldfinger,
it's
dead.
End of an era.
Dead at 32.
Went out with a smoking gun.
Blame Courtney Love.
What?
That's a topic for another day. But yeah, man, what's going on? Like, is it just our moons aligning somewhere?
Well, first, I don't know. Cancer is totally fucked and taking a couple people. And how did Glenn Frey was really had some complications of like multiple, he had multiple health issues.
Right, right.
You know, but all these people led really, really beautiful lives, and their music will live forever.
True. And also, Glenn Frey had amazing hair.
Have you seen
his hairline?
Have you? I've actually seen the Eagles play.
Oh, wow. I've never saw the Eagles. Really? You saw the Eagles?
Yeah.
That's rad.
I did their rehearsals, so I got to see them play multiple times, run through their set.
Yes, your amazing hairline reminds me of Glenn Frey's hairline.
I'm kind of rocking a Barry Melrose thing going right now.
Well, you do it. Yeah, a little bit of a mullet. A bit of a Yarmer Yager thing going on. Barry Melrose, Yarmer Yager.
You know, for business up front, party in the back.
Hey, T.S., you know what? You're Italian, right? So you can get away with it.
Yeah.
Italians get away with murder.
I got a full greasy Goomba Paisan thing going on right now.
If O.J. Simpson was Italian, he'd be out of jail right now. They just get away with murder.
Hold on.
You can do whatever you want, man. You have diplomatic immunity. Just been revoked. Anybody love that movie?
Hell, who also? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Another movie. That was Die Hard.
Yeah, that was Lethal Weapon.
That was Lethal Weapon.
Remember? Diplomatic immunity.
We also lost Hans Gruber this week.
Oh, my God. Alan Rickman. We lost Alan Rickman. Did you see the Family Guy skit they did?
I did.
This is Alan Rickman. Please remember to take out the pork chops from the freezer and put them in the refrigerator so they can defrost properly. Thank you, Alan Rickman. So good. I mean, he'll always be remembered for, I'm going to count to three. There won't be a four. Give me the code. Now I have a machine gun. I mean, ho, ho. Oh.
That guy worked. Check out his IMDb, and he has been working like consistently.
Oh, yeah.
His entire career.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's been in like Harry several Potter. Movies a year.
I mean, a lot of and Harry Potter, lots, right? I mean, but I'm sorry. He'll always be remembered as Hans Gruber. Of course, Harry Potter was an incredibly wildly successful franchise, and his character was the protagonist in that. I get it, right? But he's Hans Gruber. Forever and ever.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
He fell off Nakatomi Plaza. And then a couple of episodes, a series later, his brother died. When John McClane shot the telephone wire and the cable hit the helicopter and his brother crashed in the helicopter. Say hi to your brother!
Also one of the best Christmas movies ever.
Yeah, a lot of deaths are happening right now, T.S. I'm really worried. And also, I'm worried to drive on the streets because Stephanie Seymour was arrested recently for a DUI. Now supermodels are getting drunk and driving in the streets.
What?
Allegedly, I should say. Alleged DUI.
I mean, there's so many. We live in the land of models and supermodels, and it's really dangerous driving in L.A. with all the supermodels like texting and drunk. It's like
what would you do if you got a car wreck and you're looking out your window and there's Stephanie Seymour going, I'm so sorry.
What if What if Stephanie Seymour rear-ended me?
Would you let her rear-end you, T.S.?
I would.
I would too.
I'd pull over and I'd be like, oh no, it's my fault.
Okay, let's say you were at a party, T.S., and you saw Giselle, Tom Brady's wife.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you're Giselle. Where's Tom? Oh, he's close by. Listen, you're hot, T.S., and I'm Giselle, and I want to like stick this thing in your bum. And she pulls out like a little dildo.
A tiny one.
Would you do it?
Hell yeah.
But she's like, but Tom Brady's going to be in the room and he's going to be jacking off.
Oh no, there's more to this story.
Tom Brady's in the room jacking off while she sticks this small finger-sized dildo in your bum. Is that okay?
Do I have to look at him?
Yes.
I have to like make eye contact with him.
Yes. He's gonna caress your head and your perfect hair. Oh. He's going to caress... Would you let it happen?
But Giselle gets to stick something in my bum.
Yes. It's webcast.
And it's webcast. I guess I'm going to do it. I'm going to do
kidding?
It. I'm going for it. I'm going to go for it.
And then you have Tom Brady and Giselle's phone number, and you're like tight with Tom Brady and Giselle and going to the Super Bowl.
I don't know. There might be a backlash. Like, could I come into the shortstop and people are going to go, oh, there's that guy that got finger banged by Giselle
but then,
and Tom Brady.
But then they come up to you and they give you shit, and you're like, are you going to the Super Bowl? No, I am. Fuck you.
Oh, my
God. And
then
in their head, they're like, he's right. I'm not going to the Super Bowl. He's right. I would totally get finger banged by Giselle. So, win-win.
It is
winner,
a win.
Winner.
It's chicken a win. Dinner. All right. I'm willing to take it.
Let's get to the interview. Let's move on. The show's stalling. We're talking about finger banging and
oh my God.
Dreamy face.
It's happy hour. The wheels are coming off.
Here's the interview I did with an industry professional here in Los Angeles. He has worked with so many incredible artists. He knows everything about music and the music industry. Well-spoken, very knowledgeable. He's been one of my muses. I've gone to him a number of times with questions. And he's always giving me incredible advice. He runs a music registry business where he puts out these catalogs. If you want to find someone in the management business, someone in the licensing or TV film licensing business, or someone in A&R, he puts out these registry books every single year for like the last 20 years. Go to musicregistry.com to order these books. They're valuable. You should have them on your shelf if you are an aspiring music industry professional. It's my interview with the one and only Rich Ezra on the Dangerous Darren Show here on the Adobe Radio Network.
Joining me on the telephone here at the Dangerous Darren Show on the Adobe Radio Network, we're talking to Rich Ezra, 35-year veteran of the music industry. He has worked with several artists. God, you worked with Arista Records, Aretha Franklin. You've worked with Dionne Warwick, Tanya Tucker. So the Jacksons, Fleetwood Mac, the list goes on and on. You're a guest lecturer. You put together these directories for A&R, for film and TV, for publishing, for management. You've been doing that a long, long time. Basically, I guess my first question, Rich, is how you doing and how do you find time to sleep?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. We just literally finished our brand new year-end issue of the A&R Registry, which went out yesterday, and got that done. And, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for, I guess about 23 years now. And, you know, we've kind of got it down to a system. You know, we continually do updates constantly. We're in touch with a lot of people. A lot of people are in touch with us. You know, we're sort of the phone book of the business, as I like to say, you know.
Really quick, just off the top, where can people go to get information on these directories?
www.musicregistry.com.
It's all there.
Yeah, it's all there. We offer, you know, our directories in print. We offer them in PDF file. We offer them in Excel file. And we offer them in online subscriptions where you can just subscribe online, you know, and get it as a access to a database. So whatever, you know, format you prefer, we have it for you.
Now, what percentage of the industry, let's take management, for example, or A&R, let's take management and A&R. What percentage of these managers in the world or A&R guys and girls in the world are actually contributing to this director or these directories? My question is, are there some out there that just don't want to be contacted?
If there are, they're kind of, you know, very, very low profile managers to begin with. You know, in today's day and age, you can't be, this isn't the CIA, you know, you can't keep, you know, low profile on that. You know, Irving Azoff can't keep a low profile, as a manager, you know, it doesn't work that way anymore. I mean, you can keep, you know, I could remove him from a directory, but he'd still be in, you know, 17 other directories. Everybody knows how to reach those people, you know, and, there are some people who don't want to be in the directory, but I don't think that prevents people from contacting them. They're found somehow.
Right.
I mean, unless they're, you know, completely off the grid entirely, unless they have, you know, no office, no phone, you know, no website, no social media whatsoever. And that's very, very rare. If you are a manager who is functioning today in the business, you know, this isn't, as I said, this isn't some sort of, you know, secretive kind of thing where you can keep that low of a profile if you are a legitimate artist manager. I mean, it's very hard. And what I also find is that, you know, the biggest managers in the world are the easiest to find. They're not, you know, they're not hidden away somewhere.
How keen are these guys and these girls on hearing new music? I mean, I'm sure they probably have some a staff or people that are below them, interns, some of the bigger companies maybe that are their only job is to listen to music and try to see if it's worth being pushed up to the top, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to get to people directly unless you, you know them personally or have a personal cell number or whatever. But, you know, you'd be amazed. I mean, you know, if you have a personal, if you have, you know, an email, I've heard of, you know, very big people getting back to people on email or getting back to them on Twitter or getting back to them on Facebook. I've heard of, you know, one guy told me that Michael Rapinoe responded to him directly, you know, who's the chairman of Live Nation. You know, I've heard other people who, I think they, Twittered, Irving Azoff and he got back to them. So, yeah, I mean, you know, people have that, but it's, here's the thing. If you're a new artist starting out, you know, it's never my recommendation that you go to people like that to begin with. Most gigantic, you know, huge managers don't take on brand new, you know, untried artists. At least that's not my experience. Generally speaking, you know, they take on acts that are more established, especially in the market today where, you know, you have so many managers that the role of the manager, I think, has changed so dramatically over the last 10 years. So much more responsibility is on the manager today to develop talent than it was 10, 15 years ago where, you know, the labels had a bigger contribution in that. And now they don't. Now labels want talent to come to them developed already. They want the natural forces of the marketplace to develop talent for them. They want the act to perhaps have put out an independent record. They want the act to have, you know, some kind of social media presence. That, you know, they want a lot. And that's usually up to the artist and the manager to do that kind of development themselves. So I think the role of the manager has really increased in importance over the last 10 years.
Your last response, Rich, was perfect for me because it kind of leads into my next question. Is there a way or have you ever thought about developing any kind of playbook for do-it-yourself? Because there's lots of artists out there right now that are thinking, hell, I don't need Universal or Warner or Sony. I don't need these major labels. I don't even need major independent labels. I can do it myself. I can find distribution, physical and digital. I can hire my own publicity people. I can even book my own tours. I got control of my own social media. I write my own songs and they're pretty damn good. I'm getting them synced in commercials, et cetera, et cetera. I don't really need a major label, but I don't know how to go about doing all that step by step by step. Is that something you ever thought about putting out?
Me, no. Only because I don't have the time to do that. There are plenty of books on that subject. Just go to, you know, www.musicbooksplus.com. It's www.musicbooksplus.com. That's a site that only has books on music and on the music business. You'll find tons of books like that, you know, on how to do that. But the reality is, Darren, is that that's a very, very, very tall order that you're talking about. You know, yeah, people can do it themselves, but they will find that most of their time is taken up, you know, running their business as opposed to being an artist. And I think that one of the more important things is that what's left out in that statement of people all doing it themselves is that they have to have some kind of financial wherewithal to be able to do it themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Nobody can just do it themselves with no financial input. I mean, publicists cost money. Distribution costs some kind of money. Most distributors want to know that you're going to be supporting the record in some way, shape, or form. You know, to make a record costs some money somewhere. If you're going to manufacture records or CDs, that's going to cost. So, you know, there is costs along the way. I don't think labels are irrelevant for that reason, but I think you bring up a good point in that, you know, so much of the responsibility today has been put back on the artist to develop themselves and to, you know, basically DIY it. And it's very, very difficult. I think it's very difficult. I'm fond of saying that I think the most valuable commodity today in the marketplace when it comes to music is not money, it's not power, it's not market share, it's the ability to get people's attention because it's the most difficult thing to do. You know, I cite you lots of examples of people who have plenty of money, you know, who can't get anyone's attention. I mean, you know, you look at Disney and you look at, you know, the movie they put out last year called The Lone Ranger, $260 million on a film that they spent another $175 million in marketing and nobody went to see it.
Yeah.
You know?
And even with Johnny Depp in it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it had major stars, it had a big push. It's like, you know, what is it that gets people's attention today? That's the difficult thing. And when you stop and you think from the moment your eyes open in the morning until they shut at night, how many times somebody somewhere an email, a text message, a website, an employee, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a partner, a business associate, a billboard, somebody somewhere somehow is demanding your attention. And how many things do you actually give it to? And for how long? And then you put music in there and you begin to see, you know, Darren, listen to my song. Darren, watch my video. Darren, come to my... It's like, you know, it all becomes this avalanche of overwhelm that we just, you know, delete, even mentally. And so, you know, you have to find a way to sort of, you know, rise above that. And I don't think there's any sort of panacea that's like, you know, oh, well, if you do A, B, and C, you know, that's the way to do it. I think it's about, you know, building your audience. That's the most important thing, is building an audience of people that want your music, that want to see you live. I think performing live is a crucial and critical aspect to building a career today. And it's much more important today, I believe, than it ever was in the past, especially in pop music, because of the fact that there's not the economic model for recorded music the way there was 15 years ago.
Right. You're absolutely right. Bands need to take their live shows extremely serious, because that is something that will never be downloaded. That is something that can never be synthetically copied and stolen. It is what it is.
Right.
You have to buy a ticket, and you got to go to the venue, and you got to, it is something forever will always be there. I think, Rich, what artists nowadays need to be focusing on is the quality of their content. I see bands and artists here in Los Angeles that are working their asses off, and they're playing shows, and they're hustling, and they're out there, and they're Facebooking, and they got good numbers here and great numbers there. But then I go see them play, and I'm like, wow, I don't remember one single note you just played. Nothing. Maybe they should work with producers or maybe like, hey, I like the Beatles. We'll try to rewrite a Beatles song. Like, if the song's not there, if the hooks aren't there, if it's not catchy and people aren't going to like, hey, I heard this great song by this band, you have to hear it. They got a video too. It's amazing. Then you really got nothing. Work on your craft. I tell bands all the time, you can be a great marketer. You can have funding. You can have a rich uncle or a rich dad. You can get out in the van and go tour, and you can build an audience, and you can build your social numbers, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't have good product, you don't have jack shit. It's just the bottom line.
I completely agree with you, and I think, you know, you're hitting on something that I think is profoundly important today, especially in light of the culture that we live in and what we've just been talking about, because we live in a time when it is so easy for everyone to make music. That's a real problem. That is a real problem. That's the good news. You know, the good news is that there's no more gatekeepers. There's no one saying anymore, you know, you can't do this like there was 20 years ago. You want to know the bad news? The bad news is what you just described. The bad news are there's no more gates. That's the bad news, okay? So everyone has just come flooding in. And like you said, you know, everybody is making music. Everybody has a website. Everybody has songs. Everybody's doing social media. But very, very little is really great. And I think we live in an era now, especially musically, where we only have time for great.
Yeah,
we don't
I
have
agree.
Time for good. We don't have time for, you know, very good. I mean, that's the enemy of great. It's got to be great. It's got to be, you know, knock you out, mind-blowing. And when I look at what, you know, the superstars of today are maxing out at in recorded music, it's scary. They're making money in a lot of other ways. You know, the Katy Perrys and the Jay-Z's and the Beyoncé's. But, you know, they're maxing out at 1.8, 2.1 million albums. I mean, that sounds like a lot, but, you know, back in the day, those same people would have been selling, you know, 10, 12 million albums.
Yeah, 2 million records back in 1985 would have been a failure.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's just by the standards of today. So, you know, today we're in an era of pop music. That's probably going to change as times and styles change over the years. You know, you can go through any decade and see, you know, the different movements that occurred. The 80s had, you know, maybe four or five big movements that occurred in musical styles. And I'm sure that, you know, the next 10 years in the music business will be the same. The difference is that, you know, we live in an era now where we all as a culture do not have to pay attention to the same things. And that's a real issue that's not only affecting music, but it's affecting TV. It's affecting, you know, all media in the sense that, you know, when you and I were growing up, we had three networks. We had, you know, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and we had, you know, HBO or cable. Now we live in an era where there's 600 channels, Now we live in an era where we have 412 scripted shows on television, you know, where nothing can gain any traction, and, you know, everything's all over the place. It's that there's a dark side to all of this, you know, and in music, it's that, you know, the most valuable commodity is people's attention. I think it's that way in media in general, where, you know, we're not all reading the same newspapers. We're not all listening to the same radio station. So there's good in that and bad in that. And I think one of the good things is that if you can survive, if you can build a career for yourself, you can do so in the sense that you can sort of redefine what success is. We used to define success as massive hit singles, big album sales, big concerts. Now, I think success is defined by, can I make a living doing this? Can I actually make enough money to do the next record? That's success today. And we're seeing more and more acts out there, I think, that are doing well enough to where they can make a living. You know, maybe you don't know about them. Maybe I don't know about them. Maybe the world at large. But they have their fan base and, you know, they're making, you know, $250,000 a year, but, you know, that's not a lot when you divide it four or five ways, but it's enough for each member to live okay and just do music. Now, you know, if that's your definition of success, you know, you can do that today. If your definition of success is something else, well, it takes a lot more work, you know, to do that today. So, you know, I think that there's still a place for labels, but I still think there's a place for the DIY. I think there's far more opportunities for music out there. But I think that the idea of being an artist is, you know, it is about great music. And, you know, and you have to be great, I think, in order to connect today, if you want to connect, because there's too many other options, you know, out there. We have 200-300, you know, we've all gone down 200,000 or 300,000 rabbit holes, musically speaking, in this culture. You know, where we don't have to pay attention to top 40. We don't have to pay attention to what the major labels are offering us because we have 1,000 and one different choices that we can follow if we choose, from blogs to, you know, iTunes to this one to that one to Apple. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's endless.
Yeah.
We live in a bottomless choice. So it's difficult. It's very difficult.
It's tough sledding out there for a lot of musicians these days. But you know what? I think the website you mentioned earlier with the books and your music registry website, and I mean, I think musicians are getting smarter. So hopefully they're going to work with producers and get their product stronger. And listen, Rich, I got to jump. But listen, it's been great talking to you. Whenever we get together and talk, it's usually for, we could probably talk for another hour and a half easily, but I only have 20 minutes.
No problem.
Your insight is invaluable. Your experience is invaluable. You're one of the good ones. You get it. You understand how it works. You're lecturing. You're teaching. You're spreading the gospel. You're heading. You're helping people like myself who are starting a label and musicians that are out there working. You're an invaluable resource at a time where people like yourself are hard to come by. So for that, I want to say a very heartfelt thank you for everything you've done, not only for myself, but for the music industry as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
There you go, folks. My interview with Rich Ezra, music industry professional for many, many, many years. The guy knows every single thing there is to know about being a music industry professional. Go to his website, musicregistry.com. There you can buy books about A&R, licensing, management, publishing. The list goes on and on and on. TS, you should start a record label.
I should.
Weed Records.
But here's my thing. Everything that I hate and I think sucks totally sells. So I'm going to need somebody whatever I hate, somebody else, I'm going to need some kind of assistant protege that goes, okay, you hate them, we're signing them. And we'll all make tons of money.
So maybe just sign things you hate.
Well, I can't do it. I'm going to need an assistant.
Thanks right for tuning in to the Dangerous Darren Show live here at the Shortstop. 1455 Sunset Boulevard, right here in Echo Park, in the heart of close to downtown Los Angeles. And if you want to hit him up on Twitter, it's @_short_stop. TS, what do you got going on? What's we got some friends here. We're doing some shots.
Yeah, I ran into an underground artist from the Secret Art Society. You can find him on Instagram. @ Sir Marxalot. That's SurMarxalot. I will send out a link via Twitter later. And You know, he does some really interesting pieces. We have him here live. You know, first, Mr. Sir Marks-a-Lot, can you take us through what the Secret Art Society is all about? And, you know, let us know what's happening.
Yeah, it's basically cats will draw on hotel walls, under furniture, under anything that's hidden that you could lift up on your own.
Is there a place, is there any kind of website where, or should people just follow you on your...
Yeah, there was a group who started it, Secret Wall Tattoos, and it's secretwalltattoos.com, and they're the godfathers of it, and they were like real artists. They would, what they do is you take a painting off the wall, and you do a painting on the wall behind the painting, but about 4 inches around. I'm not going to try to describe it in detail. It's about 4 inches, people, so you
right.
don't
okay.
you don't go outside the lines and get caught. You need a buffer.
Yeah.
So the ink on your palm of your hands when you're doing the Sharpie, when it gets on your palms, you still got 4 inches to go. So, but I'm not going to tell you how to do it because it's illegal. You don't want to do it.
Look at that art advice right here.
Now, what's the Instagram? Spell that out because I want people to make sure they get
here
to
you
where
go. We're going to...
Now, is this Instagram or is it Twitter?
It's Instagram.
At Sir Marks a Lot. S-U-R-M-A-R-X a Lot. A-L-O-T. At Sir Marks a Lot on Instagram. All the artwork is there. All the pieces are there, right? Do you take pictures of every time you do something?
Only when it's good. I mean, I've taken photos and looked at it, and I've misspelled stuff. I've done a bunch of party fouls and had to edit it and just not send it on the internet. But I have archives of it. And it's pretty hilarious.
Amazing. So
you have a B reel. There's not all the A material, so you could probably have a book later.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, special edition.
What are some of the more exotic places you've been to and done some artwork? I mean, you travel a lot, right?
The most hardcore spot. Yeah, I'd have to say Abu Dhabi.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I did this beautiful piece that said, Sheik and Destroy.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
Did you? How many times have you done pieces where people have busted you and stopped you?
Oh, I've only been caught once.
Really?
And that kind of started me with the whole thing of rules. I don't do them in groups. I don't do like a party thing like, hey, let's go party in my room and draw my walls. Every time it's been like party fouls, it's lame. I've never taken a photo of it because the other day we went a good 7 inches out. I did this big FTW for my friend in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And then I put the painting up. It felt weird. And we were a good 7 inches out of bounds. That could easily be €2,000 offense. Maybe an offense, like a vandalism, something serious.
Yeah, that's
but it, we were in Berlin, so it was very artsy, and the walls were so white that I had a paint pen that was that white.
Oh, my God.
So I was able to not get caught.
You actually did touch-ups in the room.
Absolutely, to avoid a vandalism charge.
Within the... you kind of travel with a whole art kit, so within that art kit, you have to bring supplies to cover it up.
I got from, I don't just do paintings, I'll also do collages. So I got like X-Acto knives, glue sticks, a lot of fun stuff. Rulers, and a bunch of stuff. I bought this really nice compass the other day for like $60. It's beautiful.
Perfect circles. You gotta make perfect circles.
Absolutely. You gotta do your best, people.
So
I always
like,
gotta do your best.
It's basically guerrilla artwork.
Yeah.
It's guerrilla artwork.
Yeah. There's nothing, I didn't start drawing until it was on hotel furniture. I never drew like bored as a kid. I started drawing on walls as a grown ass man. So if you look at my art, it looks like a 12-year-old because I fucking suck.
That's so cool, man. Well, let's give out the Instagram one more time.
That's at Instagram at Sir Marks a Lot. S-U-R-M-A-R-X-A-L-O-T. Sir Marks a Lot. Check him out.
Definitely check him out. Thanks for coming on, Timmy, man. I appreciate that.
Domo arigato gozaimasu.
Very, very cool. T.S., what's going on in the world of marijuana? Last week you were talking about the state of New York, our birth state, making medicinal marijuana legal, and apparently there's now a new wrinkle in this ongoing story?
There's a few wrinkles. Where's my music? I'm not going on without my music.
Oh, okay. Fucking Axl Rose over here. Hold on a second.
Weed news, weed news, weed news. Weed news, weed news, weed news. Weed news.
There you go, TSA. A happy Axl Rose. You had your intro music.
Finally, nobody goes on stage until Axl goes on stage.
Everything perfect. Your monitor's working.
Yes, yes. Thank you. I have all my drinks in front of me. Yes,
everything okay?
The lighting is perfect. Thank you.
So, weed news. Last week we talked about the state of New York, our birth state, implementing a new legislation that let medicinal marijuana able to be prescribed to patients suffering from a host of ailments and injuries and so on and so forth. But you said there's a new wrinkle. There's a new wrinkle.
There's a few wrinkles in the system.
What's
going
on?
It's very conservative. You know, it's off kind of off to a slow start. There's only 150 patients have been able to be prescribed and qualify so far in the entire state.
And then there's a few people in New York.
There's a lot of people that need it. And, you know, 225 doctors have actually signed up and taken the classes so that they can prescribe. But there's not quite enough access. There's no shops. There's no dispensaries in Long Island. There's only 8, I believe, for the entire state. That's probably not really enough.
8 people.
There's
what,
no
in
doctors listings. There's 2. There's 2 in New York City.
2.
I think there's 2 in New York City.
All of New York City.
Yeah.
Oh my all God. Well, it's off to a slow start.
It's off to a slow start. They need to, you know, loosen up the qualifications a little bit. You know, most of the people that need it can get it, but the people that have chronic pain cannot get their medicine.
What are they getting? Are they getting the actual buds?
Oh no, you know they can vape, ingest like edibles and oils, but they can't get flower, so they're not legally allowed to smoke, which is they can't get raw cannabis, which is kind of an issue. Like, I don't really know why that they would do it like that. It's really restrictive.
All right, here's a question. How quickly or how, what's the word? Can this legislation be moved from side to side? Meaning, can they go, let's change this, let's change that immediately? Because it's medical. And when these people need their treatment. So,
you know, New York was different. It was enacted by the governor, so they could probably make changes a lot more quick than going through a vote. So, you know, the bureaucracy can actually get in there and make the changes. They just need the right guidance. They need someone like me in there.
Oh my God, you would kill it!
And the
you would kill it, dude. You are fish. One or the other. Right. Like, we'll get fish in there. The office manager at Adobe here in Los Angeles. Now, Fish, I don't know if you partake. I don't know if you're willing to disclose if you partake or not. But what do you think about what's going on in New York with the slow start to the medicinal marijuana legislation?
Well, being a New York resident for the first 23 years of my life, they actually decriminalized it last year, and you can only get a ticket up to a certain amount. I don't know the particular amount because I do not partake in such activities, but okay. I think if they did legalize it, it would probably do a lot of things for New York, just given the population.
You're talking about legalizing recreationally?
Recreationally.
Medicinally.
Well, medicinally, that's a start. I think we're on the ballot, or New York, rather, is on the ballot next year to become recreational as well. But I'm not 100%. It's just word of mouth what I hear.
So yes, the recreational side of things. Where are we on that for New York State?
Oh, we're a long ways away from that.
Really that far away?
Yeah. They did decriminalize a while back. You can have up to an ounce. And I think
an ounce?
Yeah.
That's a lot of weed.
It is. It's a good amount.
It's not like a couple joints.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to make it a wide amount. You don't want to like make it so restrictive as like...
So if you walk down the street in New York City smoking a joint, you're fine?
No. They will give you a ticket, but it's just like a parking ticket.
Saturday Night Live actually did like this really hysterical skit about it where when they decriminalized it, everyone was celebrating, and then suddenly someone goes to smoke it, and they go, well, the police come, and they're like, well, you could have it, but you just can't smoke it legally. It's one of those things. You can possess it, but you can't smoke it.
All right, well, thank you. We'll just smoke it someplace else.
Yeah, exactly. Not in front of law enforcement.
T.S., I got one more question. Now, do you feel that New York State is one of the states that the federal government really needs to focus on as far as the financial benefits of making medicinal marijuana legal? Do you think it's one of the states that can really throw a lot of money into the federal government?
Here's the thing. New York State is an influencer on the other states in legislation. You know, some of these other states, they look, that's like New York, they can influence politics. So people are looking at how New York is handling it, and then they will form and formulate their opinions based on that.
So they're the K-Rock.
They are. They are the K-Rock of the states.
I got it. We are. Yes, thanks for that update. It's an ongoing story. I think this is something that's going to be a part of the Dangerous Darren show for many, many weeks and months to come as the story develops.
That is true. And I just have one last point to make.
Go for it.
New York, lighten up. It's just weed.
No pun intended. Lighten up. No pun intended. T.S., that's amazing. And the fact that you can go to New York City and get marijuana is it's a slow start, but it's a start.
It is a start.
Like Fishstead, it's a slow start, but it's a start. So cheers to New York State for making marijuana legal on a somewhat light level. But we have a long way to go.
We got a long way.
We are live here at the Dangerous Darren Show at the Shortstop, which is in Echo Park, and the address is 1455 Sunset Boulevard. Hit them up on Twitter at the_short_stop when you get a minute. And we're joined now by our friend Dennis, our good friend. We've been coming.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy. We've been coming to many, many ball games over the years.
Yeah.
And stopping in and having a couple drinks here at the Shorty, the Shortstop. You have this new neon sign, which is very,
yes,
very
it's
nice.
Pretty cool. We got that on our 15-year anniversary.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, you like it?
It's gorgeous.
It actually, if you look at the old picture, when the bar originally had opened, it's almost, they tried to make it almost as close as to the same old sign that they had out there many, many years ago.
It's very, it draws your eye in. When
yeah,
I came
it does.
In, I was like, whoa, there it is. Look at that.
Some people don't like it. Some people just don't like change. But
well,
those
people are assholes. Fuck those people. I agree. Fight those guys. Where are they?
But they'll be coming in a little later.
Now, you are a friend of me and TS, and you're a friend of the show. We're going to come here and do more shows.
Yes, I look forward to it.
We love it here. This is like one of our homes. And you're a gigantic Dodgers fan.
Yes,
and
I am.
And you know a lot about the Dodgers. I'm gonna put a hat on you right now. It's
okay.
Gonna be the GM hat.
Oh, Jesus.
We lost Greinke, unfortunately. What would you do if you were the GM of the Dodgers right now? What changes would you make going into 16?
I'd get some bullpen help. Obviously, that's what we need. We need like at least one other starting pitcher. I don't know what's going on with Ryu yet. Like,
he's got to be kinda healthy at this point.
Right at this point, right? Because he didn't play at all last year. And I
McCarthy.
Yeah. And I would probably get rid of what's his name? Puig. Just because I don't think I think it's a big distraction. He didn't produce much last year.
Right.
He was injured.
Injured, yeah.
Yeah, so and I think his stock just went down from, you know, what was it, like 2 years ago when he came in red hot, and we should have probably gotten rid of him back then, and then he's causing problems in the dugout, you know, so,
well,
I mean, I don't know.
Apparently, from a joking standpoint, he doesn't wash his hands after he shits, and Kershaw doesn't like him at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kershaw doesn't like him at all. Kershaw is like, oh, my God. Like,
that is disgusting. Anybody that doesn't wash their hands after they poop is, you know, they're probably off the list, man. You got to live with these guys.
Well, didn't exactly. You hear this report? Like, Kershaw said, like, there was the list of guys who didn't, like, wash, they would shit and then not wash their hands. I mean, Puig was one of them. Let me ask you something, Dennis. Do you think that maybe they should give Puig, like, a month or a month and a half, maybe even 2 months, to just see if he can start hitting some balls?
Yes.
And then if he doesn't produce, trade him off for whatever you can get for him?
I agree.
Even if he does produce, trade him off for a higher stock.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Yeah. I'm all for it. We can something to get Puig not with the Dodgers anymore. Like, you know, have him go somewhere else, you know.
But do you think you would want to trade him for
a pitcher
or would you want to trade him for
I'd want a pitcher. I think all the other positions we might be okay. And we got some young kids coming up, so and everyone that filled in last year seemed to do a good job. So, I mean, Why not get pitchers? I think that's what we need. And the bullpen, because that's what hurt us last year.
Exactly. You know? What do you think of the hiring of Alex Anthopoulos, the old GM of the Toronto Blue Jays, who helped build that team, who almost took Kansas City out?
I like it. I'm hoping that he'll do the same over here once he's here now, man.
It would be incredible.
I know you'd like
it. I'd love it. He's got a smart mind. He's got an eye for talent.
Yeah.
I mean, he's signed Batista. He's signed all these great players. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And LA is starving for a championship, so.
Yeah. No, we haven't won anything in quite a while. Well, no, the Kings. I take that back.
Well, the Dodgers Kings won in 88.
Yeah, but it's been for a while. Yeah, that's been a while already, man.
But
you know?
Kings are keeping it strong.
Yeah.
Now we're getting some football back.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The Rams, yeah.
Do you think the shortstop, even though it's a baseball bar, do you think maybe there'll be some football games in here?
Yeah. We're working on that. We have a couple TVs now. I'm sure we will. Yeah.
Well, Dennis, you've always taken really good care of me and TS every time we come in. And we
always
love
guys.
You. You're part of our family.
Yeah.
The shortstop, 1455 Sunset. Come in and check it out, whether it's a Dodger game or not. Have a drink. Ask for Dennis. He'll take good care of you. You're my man. I love you so much.
Love you, all right. Thanks, brother.
And go Dodgers. Good guy. Let's cheers to Dennis.
Hey, let's have
Oh, that was good. I heard that. That was nice. Chase, I don't think we're going to have time for Goldfinger. I'm going to shun Goldfinger this week. What do you think of that?
No, we got no music.
I can't believe Cinnamon's not here.
I know.
This is like Cinnamon's neighborhood.
She I thought I saw her on the stroll down the street. But
why didn't you bring her in? She'd be blowing
She's working.
Both of us
she's
right
working.
Now.
She's working right
I
now.
I know. She makes her money.
Yeah.
She makes a lot of money, that girl. Oh, God, I love her to death. You know what, people? Next week, we have an amazing show. We have Burt McCracken. You might know Burt McCracken from a small band out of Utah. They're called The Used.
Wow.
They made a little bit of noise. We have Burt McCracken on the show next
Amazing.
Week. And Burt's a good guy, a good human being, and he is a dear, dear friend of mine, and we're going to have him on the show. And music from Epitaph Band, our friends at Epitaph.
We got some more Epitaph music.
Send us some Amazing. Music. Check out this band. This is no joke. I'm going to have to read this. Give me a second. The world is a beautiful place, and I am not afraid to die.
That's the whole name.
Yeah. Nine-piece band out of Connecticut that are called The World is a Beautiful Place, and
okay.
I am no longer afraid to die. That's the name of the band.
That's a hell of a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like you will know us by the Trail of Dead, but just a little bit longer.
it's a unique name.
They must have been like super fans of, but let's take it a couple steps further. Our good friends at Epitaph Records send me some music, so we'll get that on, as well as Burt McCracken. TS, thank you for being on the show as always.
Thank you. We're
thanks to our good friends at Roland_US at Blue Microphones. TS, if you want to follow him on Twitter, it's really easy. At Burn H Wood Burn. At DangerousD_show. I am at Darren99. Fish, thanks for coming in, my friend.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Just chilling out and not kicking me out of your little area I accidentally sat in.
You've been drinking some beers. You've been drinking Bud Light. You're a fan of Bud Light. You told me you like Bud Light. I like Bud Light. Who doesn't like Bud
Light? Thanks, brother. Thank you.
I like Bud Light better than Donald Trump. Oh, we didn't get to the Donald Trump news.
Oh, we'll get to that next week.
Oh, this guy is just...
He's gold. He is
fucking
gold.
Gold mine.
Hold on. We got to thank to our peeps.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks for coming to the shortstop.
Live at the shortstop.
Look at that. The peanut gallery. Go, Kings, go. And next this weekend, we have some big games. New England at Denver. We have Arizona at Carolina. I like go, Carolina. Go, New England.
Go Denver.
Uh-oh. Did your lady friend hear that?
Denver.
Go New England. I'm going to get punched in the face.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm going to just have to accept it. TS, one more shot and one more drink.
Oh, yeah. Good times. Good times.
That's good. Good times here at the shortstop. Even if it's not a Dodger game, try to stop in, have a drink, have a beer. It's an incredible hang. It's a good bar. It is at 1455 Sunset Boulevard in Echo Park. Park. TS, nothing but love. And we'll see you next week.
See ya, Holmes.